Harry pulled the cloak off himself, raised his wand and said, "You shouldn't have done that." As Amicus spun around, Harry shouted, "Crucio!" The Death Eater was lifted off his feet. He writhed through the air like a drowning man, thrashing and howling in pain, and then with a crunch and a shattering of glass, he smashed into the front of a bookcase and crumpled, insensible, to the floor. "I see what Bellatrix meant," said Harry, the blood thundering through his brain. "You need to really mean it."
"Potter,"
whispered Professor McGonagall, clutching her heart.
"Potter, you hear? What? How?"
She struggled to pull herself together.
"Potter, that was foolish."
"He spat at you," said Harry.
"Potter, that was very, very gallant of you. But don't you realize?"
"Yeah, I do," Harry assured her. Somehow, her panic steadied him. "Professor McGonagall, Voldemort's on the way."
"Oh, are we allowed to say the name now?"
asked Luna with an air of interest, pulling off the invisibility cloak. This appearance of a second outlaw seemed to overwhelm Professor McGonagall, who staggered backward and fell into a nearby chair, clutching at the neck of her old tartan dressing gown. "I don't think it makes any difference what we call him," Harry told Luna. "He already knows where I am." In a distant part of Harry's brain, that part connected to the angry burning scar, he could see Voldemort sailing fast over the dark lake in the ghostly green boat. He had nearly reached the island where the stone basin stood.
"You must flee," whispered Professor McGonagall. "Now, Potter, as quickly as you can."
"I can't," said Harry. "There's something I need to do. Professor, do you know where the Diadem of Ravenclaw is?"
The Diadem of Ravenclaw? Of course not. Hasn't it been lost for centuries?"
She sat up a little straighter.
"Potter, it was madness, utter madness for you to enter this castle."
"I had to," said Harry. "Professor, there's something hidden here that I'm supposed to find, and it could be the Diadem. If I could just speak to Professor Flitwick." There was a sound of movement, of clinking glass. Amicus was coming round. Before Harry or Luna could act, Professor McGonagall rose to her feet, pointed her wand at the groggy Death Eater, and said,
"Imperio!"
Amicus got up, walked over to his sister, picked up her wand, then shuffled obediently to Professor McGonagall and handed it over along with his own. Then he lay down on the floor beside Alecto. Professor McGonagall waved her wand again, and a length of shimmering silver rope appeared out of thin air and snaked around the carrows, binding them tightly together.
"Potter,"
said Professor McGonagall, turning to face him again with superb indifference to the carrow's predicament.
"If he who must not be named does indeed know that you are here."
As she said it, a wrath that was like physical pain blazed through Harry, setting his scar on fire. And for a second he looked down upon a basin whose potion had turned clear, and saw that no golden locket lay safe beneath the surface.
"Potter, are you all right?"
said a voice. And Harry came back. He was clutching Luna's shoulder to steady himself.
"Time's running out. Voldemort's getting nearer. Professor, I'm acting on Dumbledore's orders. I must find what he wanted me to find. But we've got to get the students out while I'm searching the castle. It's me Voldemort wants, but he won't care about killing a few more or less.
Not now. Not now he knows I'm attacking Horcruxes." Harry finished the sentence in his head.
"You're acting on Dumbledore's orders?"
she repeated with a look of dawning wonder. Then she drew herself up to her fullest height.
"We shall secure the school against he who must not be named while you search for this object."
"Is that possible?"
"I think so," said Professor McGonagall dryly. "We teachers are rather good at magic, you know. I am sure we will be able to hold him up for a while if we all put our best efforts into it. Of course, something will have to be done about Professor Snape. And if Hogwarts is about to enter a state of siege with the Dark Lord at the gates, it would indeed be advisable to take as many innocent people out of the way as possible. With the flu network under observation and apparition impossible within the grounds."
"There's a way," said Harry quickly, and he explained about the passageway leading into the Hogshead.